I'm going to invite Pastor Badge to come. Pastor Badge Akinsonyer and Pastor Chizu Akinsonyer. You're welcome, man. So can we just welcome him? So.
Ladies and gentlemen, without a doubt, if anybody needs to be honored, it is not me. So if you're going to put your hands together for anybody, can you do it for the Lord? Let him be magnified. Let him be lifted up. For he alone is worthy. We honor, we glorify, we magnify. And so, Father Almighty God, we turn our eyes to you with confidence. We ask, O Lord, that in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that tonight you take your word and do exactly what you have planned. Father Almighty God, we speak over this house. We speak over those who serve in this house. We speak over those who have labored in this house. And Father Almighty God, before we begin, we decree an expansion. Father Almighty God, a stretching of the cords, a stretching of boundaries. Father, let them come into a Rehoboth place, a place, a wide place. Father Almighty God, we ask that this weekend, all that you have planned, all that you have desired, all that you have thought through before the beginning of time, Father Almighty God, let it come to pass. And we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody said,
amen.
And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. It is humbling to be here. Your pastor and his wife are, as we would say, my people, without the shadow of a doubt. I came here 15 years ago when many of the people who serve here were students. And it was remarkable. To come back today is humbling. It's humbling for a variety of reasons, but let us begin with the task at hand. And so let us begin at the beginning. I would like, if you are writing notes, to write at the top of your notes, please. And you will need to write notes. Write the word change. Change. The state of being one thing and becoming another. Change. You could write next to that the word transform. You could write next to that the word become. And this weekend, that is our aim. That by the end of this weekend, you will be changed. You will be transformed. But most of all, you will become all that God has planned for you to be. All. Ladies and gentlemen, so what is my task this weekend? It's actually quite simple. It's quite simple. Seasons change by virtue of God determining. So he will decide that, you know what, I want something to change. But things never happen without him introducing one key element into the world. And then things change. And so turn in your Bibles, ladies and gentlemen, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. God has a change agent. And it is that change agent that we are going to depend on this weekend. Isaiah 55. Reading from verse 8. Okay. Reading from the Amplified Classic, the Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now this is where change comes. The Bible says the following: "For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." The Bible says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without producing any effect or useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Let me pause for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, how many of you are ready to change this weekend? Let me see your hands. You're ready to change. You're ready to move from one place to another. There's a principle in Scripture. God says, if I want to move you from one place to another, if I want to change you from one thing to another, I will always send my word. That means I will send a word that will cause everything to change. Have you noticed, no matter how beautiful a tree looks, once winter is coming, it starts going brown, whether it wants to or not. And winter cannot be so bitter that it cannot not prevent summer. Are we together? So ladies and gentlemen, I come to you to declare, take a look around you. Look at yourself. Look at your dreams, your hopes, your desires. I can guarantee the season changer has come. God is about to bring a word into your life that will dictate, a word that will not ask you whether you want to change, but it will ensure that you change whether you like it or not. You know what? There's some things you cannot stay in primary school forever. And sometimes where we are, we're comfortable. No. For this weekend, ladies and gentlemen, there's no way that you may remain where you are, because God has decided that there is a future for you that is better than your present. Do we agree? There's a future. And God wants you to step into your future. And that's what He has asked us to come and do. Is it the work of a man? No. Is it the work of God? Yes. And God said something about change. He says, when I want to start a process of change, I will send my word. When my word arrives, the process will start no matter what. No matter what. Now, just let me prove to you that you have a future and you have a desire and you're actually ready to change. Let me prove it to you. How many people in here, think about what I'm about to say. How many people in here can imagine a future that is better than their current? Let me see your hands. No. Can you imagine a tomorrow that is better than your today? Let me see your hands. Fine. That means where you are is not where you want to remain. Do we agree? Therefore, if we can discover the change agent, and if we can practically get him into your world, something will change. Something will change. Two scriptures I want to lay on your heart really quickly. Before I move on, I want you to notice something about Isaiah 55, verse 11. The Bible says, so shall the word be that proceeds out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. That means, hear me well, the dreams and the pictures that God has placed in your heart, they will not come to nothing. That's not how God works. They will not come to nothing. God has a plan for you. And He is going to get it done, not you. Your circumstances, irrespective, God is about to change something. And this is His key. He wants you to understand that, listen, when I want to change something, I will change it. And He's here to change you this weekend. He's here to take you from where you are to where you should be. Something is about to happen. And this is key. He will use His word. Now let me give you two scriptures before I move on. The first one is found in John chapter 1. I'm going to read from verses 1 to 5. And I want you to keep something in mind. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. Sir, if you're going to play, how will you take notes? I will prefer you to take notes. I'll prefer you to take notes for a very simple reason. A piece of paper never forgets. Never forgets. No matter how good your memory is, you will not remember everything I say. But a piece of paper never forgets. And one thing about this weekend is I'm going to be very practical. So hopefully I will shake your religion a bit. Because the outcome of this weekend is not so that you think, oh, we had a wonderful weekend, and then we go back to being the same. I want to break your normal permanently. Because if I can show you tomorrow, you will not accept today. You won't. The Bible says something, that God doesn't break His patterns. And so this weekend, let's have a look. First thing He said, remember the first thing I said to you, was that when He wants to change something, He will introduce His word into your world. He will send His word into your world. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 1, reading from verse 1, quoting from the King James Version of the Bible. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible then says, the same was in the beginning with God. That means the Word was in the beginning, and the very beginning, it was with God. The Bible then says, without Him, not without it. The Bible says, without Him, nothing was made that was made. That means if you want to create anything as a Christian, you have to use the same materials that God used to create you. If you want to change anything in your life, you have to use the same materials that God used that made you. If you want to change your family, if you want to change a person, if you want to change your future, if you want to change where you're going, if you want to change where you are, you cannot use any other materials than the ones that God has used in the beginning. That means if you want to set a task, if you want to create tomorrow, you have to use God's materials. And God's materials are His word. The Bible says, without Him, nothing was made that was made. And then the Bible is very clear. The Bible says this. The Bible says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. Hear me well. You are going to create your tomorrow because God has given you the materials. So what did He use to create you? He said, by my word. By my word. And when God says, when I send a word into you, when I speak, it must come to pass. That means whatever God has said over your life must come to pass. It must. And so we want to settle something. So what did God say about you in the beginning? Because you are a superhuman. You're special. So what did God say about you in the beginning? Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. We will start at verse 26. Remember, how will God change your world? He will introduce his what? Word. Now listen carefully. The Bible says in him was life, verse 4 of John chapter 1. In him was life, and the life was what? The light. That means the difference between success and failure is what? Light. Light, revelation, or information. The more you know about something, the more confident you will be when you approach it. Let me give you an example before I go on. I had to change the wipers on my car before I traveled up here today. So I bought them. So I had the wipers in the box. But I did not know how to put them on my car. I had paid for them. I had the wipers. I owned the car. But the wipers were useless to me unless I knew how to fix or use them. Do we agree? Do we agree? Listen carefully. Remember what I said to you at the beginning, that can you imagine a future that is better than your today? Let me see everybody's hand that said yes. Okay, let me explain why. That future will be useless to you if you don't know how to get there. How did I arrive here today? I actually don't know many of the roads I came down, but I use a satellite navigation system. So if I want to change something, notice, information is key. Today is practical. Let's understand something. If you want to achieve anything, information is key. How many people have ever used a personal trainer for exercise? A few of you have used your hands. Have you noticed that they know more than you do? And they will ask you to do some things that you'll think, nah, why should I? But all of a sudden you do them and say, wow, that works. How many people have ever followed a recipe off the internet before? Let me see hands. Okay, more hands. Notice, when it goes right, do you tell them that you followed a recipe? You just take the credit. But notice, without the recipe, the ingredients were useless to you. Do we agree? Fine. Hear me well. God wants to show you that everything that is in your life right now, once he puts it together, it will create something that you actually think might be impossible. Change is coming. So what did God say about you in the beginning? Let's start there. Because if I can prove to you that God did not determine for you to fail, you will become restless where you are. And when you are restless, you will change. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, verse 26. The Bible says, I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. God said, let us Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all of the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind. And then he makes two statements. In our image, after our likeness. Those are two different things. What does God want you to know? Number one, you have the capacity to handle the things of God the way he does. You have the capacity to handle the things of God the way he does. Now, let me ask you a question. Is anything impossible for God? Pardon? I can't hear you. Well, prove it. Back it up. What does the Bible say? For with God nothing shall be. Luke 1 verse 37. Yeah, so I agree with you. Are you God's child? Yes or no? Right. If you are God's child and nothing is impossible for God, is anything impossible for you? Yeah, not as... Wait, you stopped answering. You stopped answering. It's very interesting. Notice, nothing is impossible for God, yes? Do we agree? Yes. You are God's child, yes? Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Fine. Then, is anything impossible for you? Some of you, maybe. Well, Pastor, prove it. This is key. I'm going to do two things. Before I give you the scripture that tells you that nothing is impossible for you, let me demonstrate that you are God's child. How many of you, please, can remember last year Christmas? Let me see your hands. How many of you had a good Christmas last year? Let me see your hands. A good Christmas. A good one. Can you remember last Christmas? Okay, some of you have started smiling already. You can remember last Christmas. Can you remember what you ate last Christmas? Who ate too much last Christmas? Let me see your hands. Not this Christmas, last Christmas. Wave your hands. Right. You're already laughing, so I know you're there. Wait, let's go back further. How many of you can remember a period of your first experience of school? Let me see your hands. Any period, any element. Maybe the first day, maybe the day you left where you thanked God that you were going. Maybe the day that your first primary school. Let me see your hands. How many of you can remember? How many of you can remember? So you can remember primary school? Yes? So you can remember last Christmas and you started smiling. Now, when I said primary school, not all of you started smiling. That means Christmas and primary school were different. Do we agree? Okay. Point number one proved. Okay, let me just check. How many of you can imagine? How many of you have an event in your future that you're really looking forward to? Let me see hands. All right. Now, some of you are thinking of a wedding. Some of you are thinking of a car. Some of you are thinking of when your children graduate. Let me see hands. An event in your future. I want you to imagine that you are there. Either you're at your child's graduation or you're at your wedding or you're driving your dream car. You've got your dream job. You're on your dream holiday. Wave your hand at me when you're there. No. Okay. Wow. All of you got there fast. Ladies and gentlemen, let me repeat my statement. Is anything impossible for God? Are you God's child? Is anything impossible for you? Let me prove it to you what you've just proved to me. The only other person in the universe that can live in yesterday, today, and tomorrow at the same time is God. Yet you, without leaving your chair, have just gone to yesterday. You are currently in today, and all of you went to tomorrow, and you were still here, proving that you are God's child. Therefore, with my basic mathematics, if A is equal to B and B is equal to C, therefore A is equal to C. If you are God's child, that means nothing is impossible for you. And Jesus said so. Mark 9, verse 23. He said, to him that believes, what? Nothing shall be what?
Impossible.
Whoa. That means you can do what God said you can do. God said, let us make man in our image. You've just experienced it. That means you have the personality, character, traits, the capacity to do and function like your God. But then he said, after our likeness. That's a different word. How many people, by the way, how many people are sitting next to their parents? Let me see. Okay, no one. Okay, unless you're tiny. Very good. All right. How many of you have found out, without effort, you have started to become like your parents, whether you wanted to or not? Let me see your hands. Wave your hands. Likeness. Even though you didn't want to, things that you said you would never say or do, you have started doing, whether you want to or not, simply because they're your parents. Likeness. Likeness means function. Likeness means when the way God functions, you are meant to function. Let's put two things together. That means you have the capacity to imagine a world that doesn't currently exist and create it with the abilities that God has given to you. Why? Genesis 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth, and they did not exist before. That means the picture on your inside is real. And you were not designed to take it to heaven. You were designed to make it happen on earth. So, ladies and gentlemen, I did promise today will be practical. So now we know that you have the capacity to imagine a tomorrow like God. And the Bible also says that if you can imagine tomorrow, God is not wicked in that he has given you the ability to create it. Today is the day of change. Today is the day of change. Because by the end of this weekend, not only will you know this is what I'm here for, but you will have the confidence that no matter what God shows me, I can make it happen. Why? His word says so. So how does God make things happen? Just
to close out tonight. Whenever God wants something, please remember what I'm teaching you. Whenever God wants something, he what? Speaks. When God speaks, he doesn't just speak randomly. He says what he sees on his inside, and his outside lines up. He has given the same ability to you. Normally, when we're discussing purpose, achievement, dreams, goals, destinies, we usually teach from the position of, this is what you're here for. This is what your dreams are. This is where you're meant to go. But we rarely teach, this is how to get there. And Jesus said, no. I want to help you get there. So let's go to one lesson that he taught his disciples. Just one. Just one. Because your dreams must come to pass. They must come to pass. One lesson. So how can you make sure that what you say becomes a reality? Mark 11. I will tell you a story and we'll close out with that. And then we'll do maybe 4 or 5 minutes of prayer. Jesus walks into Jerusalem. It's not the first time he's been there. But this time he comes at the last Passover before he is crucified. When he comes, he doesn't walk in. He says, go and find a donkey because I must fulfill scripture. Find a donkey that nobody has sat on. And his disciples, they bring it to him, and all of a sudden, Jerusalem erupts. Jesus gets on the donkey, and we know this. They all begin to shout something along the lines of, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They begin to explode. All of a sudden, it seems they know who he is. Jerusalem is shaking. Jesus doesn't go anywhere except the temple, the place where God meets man. He cleanses the temple. He walks in and he clears out the money changers, and miracles begin to happen. Blind people begin to see. Lame people begin to walk. They come to him, and all of a sudden, people realize that, wait, this must be the Son of God. They celebrate all that day. The Pharisees don't like it, but there's nothing they can do. Jesus is celebrated. He leaves the city in the evening. In the morning, he's on his way back to establish what he has started. And a fig tree stands in his way. And the fig tree, Jesus is hungry. He walks up to the fig tree and the fig tree has no fruit on it. Now that's not a terrible thing because it's not the season for figs. Jesus walks up to it, he's hungry, the fig tree has no fruit, and then Jesus does something unusual. And hear me well. The Bible says Jesus answers. You do not answer unless something speaks to you. Do we agree? That means the fig tree said something. And let me give you an example of what the fig tree said. When your results come out and they're not amazing, it speaks to you. I don't think you are what they said you are. When the person that you think was going to marry you decides to marry somebody else, it speaks to you. The text message may remain on your phone for a long time, reminding you that don't think you are what you say you are. The test from the doctor may come back and it may speak to you that don't think you can make it. Don't think you have a tomorrow that nobody can handle. Your circumstances may speak to you that don't think things will change. This is how your grandfather was. This is how your daddy was. And this is how you will be. Don't think things will change. The Bible says Jesus answered. And he said, let me explain something to you. No man eat fruit of you from this moment forward. He said it with force. And he walked away. His disciples thought, okay, he's done some crazy things before, but this one is new. He's now talking to plants. Jesus goes into Jerusalem. He comes back. They come back in the night, so they can't see anything. As they're going back on the third day in the morning, they realize the fig tree is dried up from the roots. And Jesus teaches what I want to teach you tonight. They realize the fig tree he spoke to is dead. And Jesus said, let me teach you a life lesson. He said, have faith in God. Let me explain faith. Write these scriptures down, please. I won't go there. Romans 10, verse 17. Which says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Write these scriptures down. When Jesus says have faith, he's telling you from Proverbs chapter 4, reading from verse 20 to 23, that put the word of God in your heart. Incline your ear to the word. Hide the word of God on your inside. And then the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Remember, the words you put in your heart will govern the words that come out of your mouth. Jesus said, have faith in God, because God made everything by faith, and you are God's child. Then he said, if any man says to this mountain, Mark 11, 23. He said, if any man says to this mountain, be thou lifted up and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. The Bible says he shall have whatsoever he says. Then he says, therefore, when you pray, when you ask, demand, request, or decree something from the Almighty God, believe that you receive it, and you shall what? Have it. Meaning, if the word of God promises you something, it must not stay in your notebook. It must find its way into your mouth. Because when it finds its way into your mouth, things will change, whether they want to or not. And he says, therefore, when you pray, whatsoever things you desire. Now, let me explain desire. Desire is the picture that you told me you have of tomorrow. Therefore, when you pray, whatsoever things you desire, that means things that are expected, but it's more than that. The word desire holds within it the meaning of something missing. That God, I know I'm meant to be this, but it's not here. And the Bible says, believe that you receive them. And what? You shall have them. And Jesus told his disciples, what I did to this fig tree, you can do. Ladies and gentlemen, what is he saying? You have the power in your tongue to shape your tomorrow. If you are saying nothing, then you can expect nothing. From this weekend forward, how will God get you to create what you're about to discover? You believe what he says, then you say it until it becomes a reality. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure whether that works. I'm not sure whether it works. Let me give you a couple of examples. Very simple example. When I gave my life to Christ, September the 12th, 1987, do the mathematics. That's about 32 years ago. The first thing that God said to me was, I didn't save you for nothing. One day, you will teach all over the world. You will travel and you will teach people my word. You will make my word simple. I was sitting in a third world city with no resources and no way to get out of it. But I believed him. So I said it. Said it to my friends. They laughed. Said it to my parents. They laughed. Said it to people I know. They laughed. But then I began to say it to myself, that one day, this will happen. One day, this will happen. One day, this is what God has called me for. People ask me, what has God called you for? One day I'm going to teach the Bible all over the world. One day I'm going to travel, I'm going to teach and train. One day, and I just said it, and said it, and said it. And one day, the opportunity came to do what I was imagining, and somebody took notice. Within 4 weeks, I was on my first aeroplane. 32 years later, I am doing exactly what he said I would do when there was no sign or proof. You can create your tomorrow. But let me give you a more practical example. As we bring tonight to a close, I found myself, after I graduated, I went to serve in the northern part of the country where we lived. In the middle of a religious riot, I caught what I found out is typhoid. I had no money and no resources. I had no access to medicine because you couldn't go out. It was a riot. A riot where they would take your life if you went outside and they found out you were a Christian. That's the kind of riot I was in. So we had nowhere else to go. I had a bath one morning, and because it's the northern part of Nigeria, we used to use cold water. I poured cold water on my head and it bubbled. That's how hot I was. My temperature was skyrocketing. If it had got any higher, now I know, I would have had a stroke. Because nothing was controlling my temperature. I was that sick. I lay on the floor of where I lived at 9 p.m. And I realized, if I go to sleep, I'm not going to wake up. So I began. I could only remember two verses of scripture. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and verse 5. For surely he has borne my griefs and he has carried my sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am what? Healed. Now, I said that from 9 p.m. for the next 6 hours, and I was desperate. Because I knew that, look, this is not going to end well. There was nowhere else to go. 3:30 a.m., I started sweating. Now, if you're a doctor, you know when somebody has a fever, one of the things that they don't do is sweat, because the body can't regulate itself. I started sweating. I fell asleep at about 4 o'clock. I'm still here now. Now listen to me very carefully. What was the ingredient that got me there? I was desperate. I had no plan B. How many of you have a future that is better than today? Then our first prayer as we close tonight is that God, make me desperate. Make me so desperate that I will do exactly what you want me to do, because my future matters. And this is where we close. Ladies and gentlemen, write this in your notes, please. You are, in your notes, I want you to write, I am somebody else's miracle. Why did God keep me alive? For nights like this. In 30 years, I've preached to all sorts of people, counseled all sorts of people, believed, helped, prayed for all sorts of people. You are somebody else's miracle, but you have to arrive this weekend. By the time we are done, you will arrive. Something will change. Ladies and gentlemen, just put your hands out in front of you. Let's begin to pray. I want you to pray very... No, I don't want you to pray quietly. Don't bow your heads. No. I want you to say, God, make me desperate. Make me desperate for tomorrow. Make me so desperate that I will do whatever is necessary. That I will learn the lessons you will teach. I will take your word into my heart. I will speak your word with confidence and faith. I believe in who you have made me to be. That tonight, my Father, I come to the season of change. That from now on, let the change agent come into my life. Open the word to me so that something happens. Kefe ambragede fonon dolos keari bragada rembe fama da alus ke fibialus kedei rembe sototo famba braga isisi keani umbregia. I want you to pray for the next 2-3 minutes. Ramba vabara gadanya nono, that God make me desperate. Tafambia esi samum brugo dolos shambede famanda ladwa. That Father, let my normal not be able to contain. Contain me. Ebegedeya nasko brogo doskas. Fegbegedeya liskolota langa. That Father Almighty God tonight. Isisi kaloranda. That this is my weekend. Ebegedeya noska nando loska daye. Ajak brogo doloska fanda. Regbegeden no shandi fagadak brogo doska. Ambraganda. Bring your word. Dalik nambe brogo. Alive in my heart. Tofono nambe. Shegede braga danando loska daya. Ham mandalo yayi brogo dolo. Let me realize, oh God, da fam braga da luskidei, esse brogondoloska daya, arre bregedeno Oskana Voro Toska Shengbegedegedeya Naskadaya Zandandalo Dolo Rodo. This weekend is not ordinary. Heleleya Lalo Loska Haramandalo Zondo Faga Rebregedeniano Noska Zandi Bregedianananda. Something has to change. Hegede Brogodolos Kazak Brogodonantebeya Azak Brogodon Dolos Kazandia Shamandalis Kembe Bregedente Isisi Kata Talogwa Harabragadanos Kebreyadanos Sais. Father Almighty God, I ask in Jesus' name, Father, I ask that from this night forward, send your word into the lives of your people. Amen. Father Almighty God, let them realize the ability to achieve what you have set before them is already there. Let them realize that tomorrow is not just possible, it is necessary. Because they are somebody else's miracle. And Father Almighty God, we ask that when they do arrive, take all the honor, all the glory, and all the adoration. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we have prayed. And everybody said,
Amen.
God bless you.